Hello and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown with myself, Joe Oberle, senior writer at VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, and Mark Craig from the Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. Mark, if you ever wanted to find something to do in the fall, and you're like, you're bored, looking for something that had drama and changed constantly and never was what you expected, just be a Vikings fan. My God, another week of high drama for this team, which is always known for it. They beat their Packers, their rival team in the NFC North, and they beat them soundly. And you can't even celebrate it because Kirk Cousins goes down with a torn ACL and is gone for the season. So we are just like that in an instant. You know, when you're looking to just ready to surf all the different sites about the Packers online to hear their fans gnashing with their teeth. You didn't want to go near them because you know they'd be giving them grief about Cousins. So, Mark, what'd you think of all that?
I hadn't heard all that, though. No, it's unfortunate, A, because of just how well Kirk was playing. And after the Netflix documentary, you got a sense of, the world got a sense of how much he cares for this and how much he can play through and everything. You go into Lambeau. This is the first time in 30-some years where, clearly the Vikings have the better quarterback. The Packers don't have a first down until 5 minutes are left in the first half. Packers fans it's a Bronx cheer whenever they get their first down. And then, to see that locker room afterwards and then just kind of how deflating it was. And, it's unfortunate. But like in this league, the Vikings have been sheltered from this for so long because Cousins has been so durable and he's only been unavailable for one game in his entire career. So I know we've talked about it over and over. Durability is his biggest strength. But he was also playing as well as any quarterback in the league, I think. And so it's a bad time for them to have this happen. But, you look at New York and what they're doing. They're 4-3 without Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't have to be over, especially in the NFC where you can get in the playoffs, with not a great record.
You said it. I mean, he played arguably one of his better games in the season until he got hurt. His numbers at the 8-game point were he's first in TDs, second in yards, and third in passer rating. They might have changed a little bit, but that's basically where he's at. I mean, of all the metrics you measure a quarterback by, he's been lights out, And you go back and look at the four losses, the 0-3 the Vikings started as, and you take away all those drop passes and turnovers, one of them, which certainly was Kirk's fault. And they should be 6-2 right now. This guy was playing, as they say, he was balling out. He was having a great season, probably his best. He seemed real comfortable with the offense that Kevin O'Connell has put for him. Their relationship has certainly blossomed, it seemed. Kirk was taking more responsibility on the field, calling audibles and such, and there's plenty of hiccups in the early going, but boy, four out of the last five games they've won and right back in. I mean, if their season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs at 4-4. And you have this most polarized figure in Viking history, I think. You either love him or hate him, and here he was just putting everybody to rest, whoever their thoughts to rest on what he was like and what he meant for this team. And he doesn't even get hit. He tears his ACL and he's done.
He tore his Achilles.
Achilles, I'm sorry.
You could see it buckle. Like when he went back and planted, it buckled on him. I wouldn't stretch it and say, they should be 6-2. They are what they deserve to be because of those turnovers, and those turnovers, are part of the game.
I said if they weren't, if they didn't have
them. Yeah, you could say if, but I'm just, what was impressive about what Kirk has done is, you lose Justin Jefferson, your best player, and Kirk has really, he's helped. I mean, Addison's helping Kirk, but Kirk was also helping Addison. They win three games without Justin Jefferson, their best player. And in the 49ers game was an upset. Kirk was amazing on third down. Kirk was even better on third down against the Packers. He was at the pinnacle, probably the best he's played as a Viking. And, you know, his numbers last year weren't as great, but he played the position better than I thought he had played it up to that point, except the end with the Giants game and kind of how that ended. But, he's playing lights out. So now you got to move on to Joshua Dobbs and Jaren Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't gift the Chargers an opening series pick six. I think they win that game, and they should have beat Tampa, so they should be 6-2 if they didn't do all those turnovers. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Well, yeah, if you never turn the ball over and you take it away, you should be 17-0. Yeah, if Kirk doesn't get hurt and they never turn the ball over and the defense, you know, trades for all of Washington's defensive linemen. My point is
it demonstrates what kind of a team they have and what kind of season Kirk has been having. And it's a travesty that he goes down now and the season was blown up, freaking blown up. I mean, from a Viking standpoint, fan standpoint, we're just crawling back to relevance and we're just sitting there thinking, okay, this is who we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. The defense is playing in freaking great. They won that game on Sunday for him. The offensive line is getting plaudits as the best we've seen in here in over a decade or more. And, Justin Jefferson's on the bench. Look at this flipping team. And all of a sudden just dashed. There's got to have a little requiem here for Vikings fans. That's who's listening.
Yeah, well, wait, see how it plays out.
See how it plays out. Absolutely. And speaking of that, the Vikings are digging right in today as the trading deadline came near about an hour ago. The Vikings traded for Joshua Dobbs, the quarterback, backup quarterback from Arizona, who's been starting of late. And they got Dobbs and a conditional seventh round pick for and the Cards got a sixth rounder. See how it plays out. I don't know if that's yet the panacea, the cure all that we need. Or is Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins or Mannion? I can't even think of his first name. He's so far down in the practice squad.
Well, Nick Mullins. This is a good move because you're not giving up much for it. It's a sixth round pick. Nick Mullins is he's eligible to come off injured reserve next week, but clearly O'Connell is saying that they don't know what the timetable is, but clearly. Reading between the lines, Nick Mullins is not going to be ready for a while. That's another reason you make this move. Doesn't cost you a lot. It's a guy that has started every game. He arrived in Arizona in late August and became their starter right away and has started every game. Now, I was joking today that I said Arizona, my lock of the week, my upset specials suck, but my locks of the week have basically been following the Cardinals because, whoever plays the Cardinals, I feel like is going to win. But that doesn't mean the Cardinals have been playing terribly. They've been playing like their rear ends off, but they're just not talented enough, not good enough to beat whoever they play. But Dobbs for the desperation that the Vikings are in, is not a bad player to have. The plan is the Vikings, O'Connell said today, the plan is to start Jaren Hall on Sunday. And we also got to remember that Jaren Hall, Mullins went on IR 3 weeks ago. So Jaren Hall's role kind of changed 3 weeks ago and he has been getting a little more, there's been a little more urgency to get him ready to play. So that's going to help. I think. And then Dobbs, it all depends on how Jaren Hall plays. If he plays well, he keeps the job. If he doesn't play well, then Dobbs has 2 weeks to get ready, and you see what you got. And
that's
what you'll do. This is not to compare him to Brock Purdy, but did anyone know who the hell Brock Purdy was a year ago? I mean, seriously, Brock Purdy won all those games because he was on a good team. This is still a good team. they'd be nice if the Vikings could run the ball a little better. That would help them out tremendously. But to me, you go into Atlanta. Atlanta's probably going to start Taylor Heinicke because he had a real big spark for that team in the second half last week. You know, Taylor Heinicke will be the best quarterback in the building, which is frightening. But they're beatable. So to me, it's like you don't just throw it away. You know, this is not Kellen Mond. I mean, Kellen Mond, you were like kind of knew as soon as he stepped on the field. He was too slow for this game. He was too slow mentally processing and too slow physically. Jaren Hall, I think he can move around a little bit. He bought time in the preseason to make some passes. They got to protect him better. I mean, the strip sack that he took, you know, Darisaw, one of the best left tackles in the league, gets beat on that play. So to me, it's like it's interesting to see how it's going to play out because it's not just an automatic they're done because they're still a good team at a lot of other key positions.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting to hear you say that Nick Mullins won't be back. He's scheduled to be able to come back from the IR on the 12th of November, but you're saying you're reading between the lines that he probably won't be ready then, and that's why they made this move. That makes me feel a little bit better about the move. Not that I disliked it, but the fact that there's a reason, and they're not just completely saying, "Oh, Jaren Hall is not ready or no good." They need some bodies in the quarterback room right now.
Well, yeah, they need for what they gave up. Maybe they don't make this if Nick Mullins is going to step in 2 weeks. But Nick Mullins also, I would assume, with a back injury, has not been practicing, you know, for a month now. So this is a longer-term deal. And so if you have Nick Mullins and you've got Joshua Dobbs and you've got – yeah, you needed another player, and they're getting a guy. Granted, you know, he's started, I think, 10 games in his career. He's 1-9. But he's done some good things. He's been on some bad teams that have, frankly – you know, like Arizona. I mean, if Kyler Murray was healthy, he wouldn't be playing in Arizona. I think he played some in Cleveland. So, you know,
do we know
those guys? You can stay in the league like this if you do. You know, if you do some good things and you're available, because unlike you know the Vikings have been spoiled by having you know it's kind of funny, but that you think. What led to Kirk Cousins coming here was the fact that they were having to, you know, piece and plug guys in and injuries and all this stuff and get Bradford and win with Keenum and stuff like that. Well, you know, they've been spoiled. That hasn't been a problem. I'm doing a story for tomorrow's paper on just how many there's been 184 quarterbacks since 2018 that have started for the 31 other teams. And that's an average of 6 per team. So this is kind of what other teams have had to deal with, including the Vikings in 2017.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you've done had any chance to look at, you know, just how good or bad Dobbs is, but you know, you say coming from a bad Arizona team, which he is, but how much is attributable to him? Has he played well enough? Has he played better than and put him in a chance, you know, a position to win, or has he just been one of the problems out in Arizona?
Well, I mean, problems is probably a stretch. I think I've watched every game they've played, but still having a survivor pick alive and looking for, you know, who am I going to pick? You know, I've taken the team that has played the Cardinals a lot because they're just, frankly, overall, they're not talented enough. They're just not talented enough to win games right now. He is he's not playing like a it's not like it's Tom Brady on a bad team.
Yeah.
He's capable of making plays and he has experience. He has the ability. He's not Michael Vick, but he can move around. He can make tight throws if needed. He's just he's a backup that, you know, can in spurts play well. Not a guy
that's a rocket scientist apparently.
So he'll pick up the playbook pretty quick, I guess. So
you know, that's
just not a very talented, overly talented team right now. Okay. But I could see why they want to get a look at their this Clayton guy. So hey, it's to me, you didn't give up enough. You didn't give up a lot. You got a guy that could maybe step in and help you out. It's not going to be Kirk Cousins, but it could be worse, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, you said it at the outset. You know, the price is you can't tear it down. I mean, I wouldn't have gone and signed a Colt McCoy over this. You know, I would rather do this. They're trading a pick for a pick, a sixth for a seventh. One of them's conditional. That's fine. Plus, you get this guy, and if he helps you out and keeps your season alive, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I'm hoping they'll take a long look at Jaren Hall too before, you know, they cast him back to, you know, and let Dobbs maybe get a chance to get up to speed with the offense and such, because, you know, there's part of Jaren Hall that's interesting too. You know, he's accurate. He doesn't have the strong arm. He can move in the pocket and get out of trouble when it's coming. He's certainly not ready for the prime time, I would say, because he hasn't had the experience. You know, it's different from college. Everybody that's coming after is really, really good and really fast. And you got to make those decisions quicker. So I think that's one of the things you can only get there by, you know, by doing it and seeing how fast you have to react and adjusting. And so this, I felt going into before this trade day that it was the thing to do was to ride with Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins and see how they do and not spend draft capital. But when you're not really giving up anything, I'm on board with it, and I'd like to see how it pans out.
Yeah, and also Nick Mullins is not here, and this is one, you know, in the NFL every game is so important. It's like you couldn't just say, well, you know, we'll just wing it with Jaren Hall, and I guess you elevate Sean Mannion. I mean, we all know what Sean Mannion is, or you go to a Wildcat with you know, Kanade Nwangu or something. No, I mean, they need a guy in here that, you know, because Jaren Hall could get hurt on the first play or first quarter. I think they're going to take a long look at. I mean, if he's functional and he's playing well, yeah. I mean, he stays in the job, and
you don't want to give up on your team either, and send that signal to the players, because then you don't know what is becomes a product of that. Then all of a sudden players get dissatisfied because they have a good team around him now, you know, a very good team, I think, and that has just had a number of smaller issues. Well, they're big issues, but they, you know, they're correctable issues at the beginning of the season. So if all of a sudden you say, oh, well, let's just ride with Jaren until Nick comes back and we got Sean Manningway, you know, that doesn't excite anybody in that locker room, I don't think.
I think you need right now, you need another. You know, you got to have three or four guys, and you just go with what you can win with. And
right,
yeah. I mean, to me, it's in a bad situation. It's a good move because you didn't pay up much, and you're getting a guy who has started every single game this year. So he's ready. He's been doing it. So
what do you think about the other move the Vikings made? They traded Ezra Cleveland to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a 2024 sixth round pick. They got their sixth round back. And yeah. I read right before I came on here that pick comes from Carolina. So it's going to be a good sixth rounder. It's going to be a high sixth rounder coming from
Carolina. High sixth rounder. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, let's you know, when I did looking 5 extra points on Monday Night Football, I looked at every play on Dalton Risner, and I was like, if he's not one of your five best linemen going, they kept saying, we're just going to start the five best. And I said, there is no way. I said, if Cleveland comes back and starts, this guy will have to move to right guard. So I was asking questions about, hey, you know, for this, this last game, saying, okay, if Risner does, or if Cleveland comes back, does Risner move over to the right side? And they said, no, this is a left guard situation. And, you know, who knows? Cleveland might have been ready to. He was questionable. He might have been ready to play, but Risner was clearly better, the best guard that they have right now, and they really like Blake Brandel. So you still have depth. Cleveland is a free agent at the end of the year, so you know you don't need him, and it doesn't really hurt you on depth because you know they have Brandel in case one of these guys gets hurt. And Brandel is probably equal to Cleveland. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that move. You know, now that one of the guards gets hurt bad on Sunday, you could say, well, you know, you should have kept this guy, but yeah. You know, they do have, at least they do have a guy that they like in Brandle.
Don't let that happen. It just occurs to me now on hearing you saying that, I mean, Reisner took a few games to get up to speed before he got into the lineup, and they've been bringing along Akers pretty dang slowly, not as quickly as some fans and observers would like him to be, you and I included. And that maybe tells me that they will do the same with Joshua Dobbs. They, you know, you might get a couple games out of Jaren Hall if he plays good enough to win ball games, to put him in a position.
At quarterback, it's, I mean, I know last year Baker Mayfield got traded or cut or whatever went from Carolina. I think it was Carolina went to and played for the Rams on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football. And, you know, kind of had one of those lights out games. You know, the Rams were out of it. And so Baker was in a lot of ways playing backyard football. And, you know, they think the Rams won that game and Baker Mayfield played really well. There years ago when I was covering when Bernie Kosar in Cleveland got, you know, that turned Cleveland on its ear when Bernie Kosar got cut by Bill Belichick, and 5-6 days later he started. Troy Aikman was hurt in Dallas. He went down to Dallas and started, and they won a game. So it is capable. It is possible. And Norv Turner was the offensive coordinator that got Bernie up to speed and enough to play in the game. So it is possible for a guy to play with a week's notice. I think they'll make every effort they can to get him ready. Yeah. I think they'll get comfortable with a reduced package of plays for him. You start Hall, see how he does. If he completely is overwhelmed and can't do it, then you'll see Dobbs step in. But I don't think that they know. There's no we're gonna bring Dobbs along for 2 or 3 weeks like we did for the left guard. You know, it's basically all hands on deck. You know, how do we win this game and get to the next one? You know, and just each week doing that. I mean, Kirk gave them so much, such a luxury of, you know, what you could put onto the quarterback. Well, now coaching staff's the ones that got to really, you've got to be, there's no room for error for the coaching staff at all three phases of just what it's going to take to win some really ugly games coming up, probably.
Well, I do like Dobbs being under the tutelage of Kevin O'Connell. You know, he knows, he's been a quarterback's coach. He's been a quarterback himself. He's it's his offense, blah, blah, blah. I think that's a good thing. Dobbs has got an arm. He's got legs. He's got some experience as a starter. Get him up to speed and get him playing the game the way you want to. And, it could be a very positive thing. So I'm all in to see what happens with him. And, you know, I also want to see Jaren Hall. I guess I've said that. On that note, I'm getting all hot and bothered from all this drama about this team. So I got to take a break. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about that Packers game, which we shouldn't forget. It was only 2 days ago and it was glorious. So until the injury. So let's come on back and talk about that. And I'm back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, I got to go backwards a little bit. I know we all got to step forward. You got to keep going. The season keeps rolling. But, you know, for me, there's still plenty of questions surrounding Kirk Cousins, who is done for the year, even though he won't be on there. Got to hand it to him. He shows up at the event with a little cart for his injured leg last night and signs autographs, you know, 24 hours after tearing his Achilles heel or tendon. What do you think is going to happen with him? He's got, what is his contract? I mean, you know, his contract's going to be over. So that plays into it. KOC spoke this afternoon after the trades were made and sounded like he was saying that, you know, he's got a really good relationship with Kirk. And, you know, if you read between those lines or if you want to read it this way, he would like him back. And who wouldn't after the season he's been having? And it's certainly if you're bringing up younger quarterbacks. So what are your thoughts on Kirk and what will happen with him as we go forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disbelieve that O'Connell wants him back. As a franchise, they can say all they want, you know, about how much they love him and everything. But when given the opportunity to put your money where your mouth is, guy going into the last year of his contract, they took a wait and see approach, like a lot of fans do. You know, I don't know. Let's see what we got here again. It's almost like another prove it year for a guy that's 35 years old. You know, I don't know. And it sounds terrible saying this because of the injury and everything, but I don't know what's his market value now. The company, you know, being, he'll be 36 next year, I think. And coming off Achilles, you know, does he sign for 1 year? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I would think he's more affordable, which is terrible. This, you know, the harsh reality of this league is, you know, he's not worth as much as he would have been if he'd have kept playing and been healthy at the end of the year. That's terrible, but that's just the reality. And I don't, you know, to me, if you're going to get rid of Kirk Cousins, you better have a better plan. I mean, you better have a plan to succeed him. Now, you know, saying that right now, it's impossible to predict what'll happen, because I keep thinking back to the 49ers, and the reason that I voted for Kyle Shanahan for coach of the year over, I don't even know if I had the guy in New York in my top three, because he did a good job and everything, but Kyle Shanahan, everyone wrote the 49ers when Trey Lance went down and Garoppolo came in. It was like, okay, they can probably, you know, they don't have their superstar that's going to do all these different things, but they got a steady Garoppolo. Garoppolo gets hurt, and you're like, oh my God, they're down to a seventh round rookie. I mean, they're done. They'll never win again. And they just kept winning games, and they would have kept winning games all the way to the Super Bowl if he hadn't got hurt. So I'm not saying that Jaren Hall is the next Brock Purdy, but can anybody say, you know, I guess if you had to flip a coin, you'd say he's not, and you'd have a better chance of winning. But no one has any idea what Jaren Hall is going to be like. I mean, yeah, he could do some things. You're like, wow, that's our quarterback. You know, it could happen.
You said that a 36 year old coming off an Achilles injury. There's a 40 year old coming off one that still wants to play before the season's up. I saw a video of what's his name, Aaron Rodgers, throwing a ball around, and you know, he's walking around and, you know, fading back to throw passes already. So, you know, I don't know that I would want to pay him either, but you know, I tell you, modern medicine. Last thing I got to say about Kirk is, though, I feel a little guilty today. Kirk Cousins rips his Achilles tendon on Sunday, and Monday in my mailbox shows up a copy of Minnesota Golfer. I'll have to show it to you right here. And lo and behold, who's on the cover of Minnesota Golfer?
Yeah, I was
Kirk Cousins. Who wrote that story, Mark?
Yeah, I was gonna go get. I was when it came out, I was gonna get some copies and you know, give one to Kirk. But I don't think we're gonna see him around for a while. I think he'll be, you know, they're talking about he'll be at the facility. He's gonna be, you know, knowing Kirk, he's gonna want to be like assistant coach, you know,
right,
once he gets through all the, you know, the medical stuff of surgeries and rehab and all that stuff. Yeah, that's so SI Jinx. It's a Minnesota Golfer Jinx, I guess.
Yeah, I think I sent you a note that I once put together a story on Ryan Longwell that we were going to do, because he is a big golfer when he was here, and we did it for the magazine. And before we had a chance to publish it, Ryan got cut, so we relegated it to the website, and it didn't make the print edition. So now here's Jinx number two. And that, in fact, my editor, before we did the story, when I pitched it after talking to you, he said, is Kirk Cousins going to get traded? And I said, no, he's not going to get traded before this comes out. And sure enough, the day before his season does end. So what the hell? Not good. I guess Kirk Cousins probably won't want to. You might want to wait till he's healed before you start showing him that he was on the cover, and just say it just came out then, you know. Yeah. Anyway, let's go back to Kirk Cousins on the field. And, you know, the bright side of that Sunday game was they claim the Packers clock, as far as I'm concerned. 24-10 final, it wasn't even that close. And, you know, the Vikings didn't play their best game ever, but they played pretty darn good. The defense was great. The offense was good enough, and the Packers were terrible. So, you know, it was wonderful to see, you know, after, 16 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, to see them struggle at the position a little bit, and for the Vikings to go into Lambeau and win a big game, makes them 2-0 in the division, makes them 4-4 on the season, and right back in the conversation. So what did you think about that game on Sunday? You were over there, Mark, at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people might chalk it up to, you know, Jordan Love's not that good and all this, that, the other thing. But, you know, there's been a lot of years where we've seen really bad quarterbacks, you know, take this team up and down the field, just this team, and then play like crap against other teams. You could just laundry list of quarterbacks that have done that. I loved how Josh Metellus is playing. There were three plays that he made that, you know, they were highlight plays, all third down, that showcased his ability in three different phases. One was, you know, covering the Luke Musgrave one-on-one, the tight end, big tight end. He's not the greatest tight end in the world, but, you know, he's got blanket coverage on him and swats it away on third down. The other one's open field tackle on Jordan Love, short of the sticks. And the other one, and then the great one was being in the right position and having that good fortune of the ball kind of coming off the receiver's hand, and he picks it off and then has a great return. You know, Daniil gets a 10th sack. Yeah, I mean, the Packers were terrible, but the Vikings had a big role in just how inept the offense was. Yeah. And, you know, that's a kind of thing I think they can do. You know, they can go in and do that against Desmond Ridder. Defense travels better than offense, I feel. And if you can, get your guys, it's not the greatest, it's not the most talented defense in the world, but the way they're playing fast now. They're more confident. Harrison Phillips had a, you know, one of the better games we've seen by a defensive lineman. So there's things that they can do, playing at that speed and you know, confusing guys and getting after people. So that they need, they're, you know, the defense is going to take you probably as far as you can go right now, I think.
You know, I speaking of Metellus, I thought he was really good last year, but he seems to be blossoming under Flores' scheme with him ranging all over field. On that interception, he started out on the line of scrimmage. he pulled off and went back to pick up that guy in a deep, deep drop, you know. So that just shows you part of what's going on there. I've really been enjoying watching him play. You know, Danielle Hunter, constant talk all day long. Are they going to trade him or aren't they? Are they going to trade him or aren't they? God, you trade that guy, I think, you know, then the season's over, because, you know, you're cashing in if they would have tried to deal him. But I heard that they were listening to offers. At least that's what it was said online. And I'm sure that, you know, they have to do that because he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and he could go and they might not get any compensation for him. But did you think there was any steam behind that smoke that was coming out about?
Well, there were teams that have been calling him for weeks on about Daniil. You know, it made more sense before they, you know, started winning three in a row. You know, I'm sure they would listen. Yeah, because Washington got the second round pick. Washington just gave up on everything today. They traded two. I mean, they had one of the best fronts in football, I think, and. Chase Young, they got rid of for a second round pick. He goes to the 49ers, who had picked up Gregory before that, and they're still kind of struggling with their pass rush, which is kind of strange. But yeah, I'm sure they listen to see what, you know, they have to judge it on whether they feel like they're going to bring him back. But yeah, you get rid of him, that defense doesn't have a chance of them making the playoffs, I don't think, because then you don't have that one guy that can beat one-on-one, you know, blocking, or one-on-two sometimes. So, yeah, that would have been a total give-up move, I think.
Do you think that, you know, if Jaren Hall / Joshua Dobbs Nick Mullins, whoever, plays decent enough and shows some promise, do you think that then it makes it like, well, maybe we don't sign Kirk for, certainly not for top dollar, because then that allows you to sign Justin Jefferson, Danielle Hunter, and whoever else they got coming up that they've got to get big. You know, Darisaw is, I think, eventually going to need a contract. I'm not sure. Does it make it easier if they play well to say, okay, Kirk Cousins' era is over here? Like that?
Yeah. I mean, look at the 49ers and what they did, you know, to get Trey Lance. I mean, they three number ones, whatever it was, to go up to number three, and then bam, within the guy only had like four career starts or whatever. They totally 180. How quickly things change in this league, and how willing aggressive the GMs are, the coaches on the field, the GMs off the field. Things can change like that, and there's no fear anymore of just doing a 180, going somewhere else. And so, yeah, things could change a lot depending on how this guy plays the last nine games.
Yeah. Back to defense quickly, some other standouts. You mentioned Harrison Phillips had a great game. DJ Wanham had the big sack. Mekhi Blackmon with some big pass breakups. And Harry the Hitman and Bynum were the usual solid middle of the secondary. We did get Lewis seen on the active roster and played some special teams, but boy, oh boy, Harry's getting old and you hate to lose him. Those two back there are playing great. You know, the secondary is all of a sudden slowly becoming not a strength, but they're heading in that direction.
Well, I think it's, you know, Flores is the real deal when it comes to, you know, being a good coordinator. Just the pressure, the illusion of pressure. It's probably, as a quarterback, especially a younger quarterback, it's hard to know, is this going to be one of the times where they send seven, or is it going to send three? Metellus, you know, by using the three safeties and their talents, you know, Metellus can disrupt things, and then Bynum has been my whole Sunday story was on Bynum and his tackling, and it's kind of a fun story on him talking about learning how to picking up tackling techniques from an amateur, like a rugby player in the Philippines that he was in his football camp, because he had that great tackle on McCaffrey, and sort of a fun back and forth with Harrison Smith on who actually caused that fumble, because it looks like Bynum's helmet comes back. Yeah. But if you look at it again, Harrison was like, no, because my right hand is sneaky, like it came in. So they might have hit at the same time. Those two are playing very well. And it was just good to see them. You know, this is what you should do against Jordan Love might end up being a good quarterback someday, but there is he's going the wrong way right now. And not saying that they give up on him already, this soon, but this is what, when you get a guy like that, even though you're at his place, you do what you did. You do exactly what the Vikings did to him.
It wasn't all just the lack of love for the Packers. There was also Jair Alexander got torched on Sunday. Now, granted, I know he was coming in injured and such, but whether it was Addison or somebody else, KJ Osborne, somebody catching passes and TJ Hockenson had another really good day. They took care of the vaunted Packers defense. You know, they should have scored more. They settled for field goals when they should have gotten touchdowns and really blown the thing open. But suddenly, Jordan Addison is going to be the real deal. And I think the byproduct of Justin Jefferson getting hurt, obviously, is he gets to grow into his role real soon. KJ Osborne gets to increase his confidence, and you got the solid TJ Hockenson there. When Jefferson comes back, who's ever thrown to him is going to have fun picking out someone to throw to on this team, I think.
Yeah, if they can recognize what's going on, with a rookie, everything is so much quicker. Whether you can get through your progression like Kirk would be able to do remains to be seen, but yeah. And Brandon Powell, I thought, he had a nice jet There's a jet sweep on a third down where he got the first down. He did drop a ball on third down that could have been a first down. Otherwise, Kirk might have been perfect on third down. I think Hopkinson had a drop, but he was a good game. I feel like a lot of this happened because the offensive line, you and I were talking before, my colleague Andrew Kramer was looking at the looking up, like, when was the last time Kirk Cousins went two games without a sack? And he found out that it had never happened while Kirk was a Viking. And the very next play was the first sack, and the very next play after that was the second sack where he hopped off the field. And
so Andrew's a jinx.
We are all known to jinx guys, but that's up there. But yeah, I mean, the protection was good. And Risner, to me, continued to be a force inside there. I think he makes Bradbury better, and I think Ed Ingram is improving. I mean, yeah. The less we talk about Ed Ingram, it's obvious that he's improving, because when things are going bad, I mean, Ed's one of the first names out of our mouth.
Where they didn't improve once again was the dang running game. Now, I don't know if that's Madison, or if it's the line opening holes. There's just nothing for this rushing game. You get a little bit more out of Cam Akers, and I know you and I have both been advocating to get more of him in the snap count. But what's going on with this rushing game again? Because they're going to need a good running game and to do something different for these, either Jaren Hall to protect him or even Dobbs.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that as much as we want to say that running backs are interchangeable and they're all the same and you can just go get one off the street, or it doesn't really matter. I mean, you look at last night's game with the Lions, and, you know, a guy that people made fun of him for taking 12th overall, and they made fun of him for taking the linebacker 18, and then made fun of him for taking a tight end 34. Those are three key players that are helping them win this year. And it's going to be helping them win for the next 5 years, you know, and maybe longer in some cases. So you have two good running backs. You don't have I think you have two good backup running backs right now. Mm-hmm. The one that I think is better is Cam Akers. I would like to see, at the very least, the roles reversed and have Cam be the one that gets 17, 18 touches, and maybe Madison gets the 10 touches. 10 or 8 touches. Madison gives you everything. He's a sledgehammer that's coming at you a million miles an hour. But I think he misses by the fact that he, I don't know if it's instincts or it's definitely a lack of patience of letting things unfold a little bit. I think when Akers gets in there, there's a little more like willingness to let that guy block or give you a little crease and then you can go. He's smoother. He's more instinctive. So, yeah, I just keep to some degree it happened with the 49ers game. You saw he did get like two more touches than Madison. But overall, it's just been, you know, a little more of Madison, a little too less of Akers, I feel. I'd love to see Akers. I talked to him after the game just about, you know, how hard is it, you know, because he did have that way. He came in at that 9-yard run right away. Then a first down run on the next play. And then he finishes off with their first rushing touchdown of the year, a 6-yard run, which is a really good run. And he said, yeah, it's really hard to get in a rhythm when you're just kind of getting a handful of touches.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't complaining. He said, we were winning. Yeah, we won. But I think you need more out of that running game. And I think he's the guy of the two that could help you get there.
Right. Quickly back to the defense. You know, I know you and I, and certainly you had major concerns about this defensive line coming into the season, which we all did. And I just remember you voicing them. Do you feel like they're playing better now than we might have expected that they would at this point?
Well, you know, they really don't. There's so many situations where they really don't have linemen on the field. I mean, Harrison Phillips, yeah. But, you know, Dean Lowry has just been kind of a non-factor. And, you know, Tonga, their nose tackle, they just play a lot of, like, you know, four linebackers and you know, a lot of outside, you know, you'll have, you know, Wanham and Jones and Hunter and those guys. So it's not a traditional defense, but I do like, I will say, you know, I thought Harrison Phillips there were some games earlier where he would have a lot of tackles, but it just didn't feel like a really good game because maybe they're down the field or whatever. Yeah. He had that first third and one, you know, he's tackling A.J. Dillon, who might weigh as much as Harrison Phillips. And then on the goal line stand, he has the stop on first down, and I think he had the stop on third down. I don't know if they scored on fourth down or third down, but, you know, he played pretty well, I thought.
Real quickly, Greg Joseph missed extra point, kick out of bounds on the kickoff, a field goal block, which isn't necessarily his fault, but special teams is not performing well. Did they say anything today at the coordinator interviews about what's going on there?
Well, yeah, Matt Daniels spoke today, and the kickoff out of bounds for me was one of my extra points, which you know, with all the cuts and stuff, it was like it felt weird going in there and talking about like a kickoff out of bounds or why didn't you go for it on fourth and one? And you know, it just wasn't a normal football game. But I, you know, kind of by the time stuff trickles down to where I'm doing you, it's like okay, I need to do this. But yeah, he explained that the kickoff out of bounds, which I thought came at the worst possible time. It's like you're leading in first downs, 12-0. The yardage was like 167-15, but you're only up 10-0. I mean, that was.
Right.
You know, just a weird game where it's like, it feels like the Vikings are up 100-0, but they're only up 10-0. He explained that Theo Jackson, because of the wind, I guess, he had to come in and hold it. And he said Theo let go of it. And as he was getting ready to kick and the ball starts to fall forward. And I, you know, for me, with when it comes to Vikings and kickers, I've always used the Lucy and Charlie Brown situation. And I think maybe we could have had the kicker miss and land up on his back, but yeah, that's what happened on that one. But one mistake that happened again is Jay Ward lining up offsides, not jumping, but lining up offsides on a field goal that, I mean, he's been responsible for 10 points that have just because of him.
Yeah.
So that was brutal. Again, in the Tampa Bay game, they make it, but they take the points off the board and score a touchdown because of what he did. This time they clank a 35-yarder off the post, and they get another shot and they make it. So it's a one score game after the total domination that they had. They were only leading by 7 points at halftime, and that's because a guy lined up offside.
God, yeah.
And then they had the. Ivan Pace has the holding penalty on, I don't know, in the play-by-play, it says 103-yard touchdown, but I think he stepped out of bounds.
He did.
So, you know, but still, it would have been at the 16-yard line instead of the Vikings' 14-yard line. And Ivan Pace did not – he wasn't the block that sprung it. He was on the other side of the field. He just grabbed – he just put his arms around the guy and threw him down. And it was like – not sure what was going on there, but Daniels was not happy about that one.
Nor was I. If he scores and it's held up, I win in fantasy this week because I had the Vikings defense. But anyway, so you're talking about Lucy and Charlie Brown. That's a nice segue. It's Halloween today. We can go. I'm going to watch that later today. Got to watch the annual. It's Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. When that actually takes place. So. Kind of apropos. On that note, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, after all this noise and this drama and this everything this week, the Vikings are heading. They got to go play football again on Sunday. They're going to Atlanta to take on the Falcons, who are having some quarterback problems of their own. Apparently, their quarterback, I don't know his first name, Ritter, is in concussion protocol. And guys, yeah, go ahead.
He was cleared of that concussion in the third quarter. That you know, I don't think the coach is going to be like a forthcoming on who's going to start. But they played absolutely horrendous, flat. Desmond Ridder was terrible. Kind of a guy that's sort of in that Jordan Love situation where it's like he's kind of regressing a little bit. He's not. I think he's got a future, but he's just not playing well right now. Mm-hmm. And he was in the concussion protocol at halftime, and I think he was cleared by the third quarter. But by that time, Heinicke was playing, had a spark, They almost came back and won that game. In fact, they lose by five. They were down, I think, 14-3 at halftime. They lose it by five, and the game ends because a receiver drops. You know, Heineke's fourth and one. Heineke, you know, maybe a minute and a half left. They're driving. He throws the ball right to the guy. He dropped it in the middle of the field, and so then the game ended that way. So Heineke played a – he gave him a spark, and I would be stunned if Heineke doesn't, you know, after what he did in the second half, doesn't start.
You know, he was playing pretty well when the Vikings went to Washington and played them a few years ago. And
Was it last year?
Wow. And they beat them, but the Commanders gave him a heck of a game, and the Vikings were having a good season. They almost lost him. So Heineke, he can do some things. I've seen him. He can do some things. What are they doing with Bijan Robinson? Is that his name? The rookie running back who started out like a house of fire and had everybody thinking that he was going to be great. And he's been kind of quiet of late. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that they have the best offensive line in the world. They have two running backs, drawing a blank on the other, but you know, it's a kind of a two running back system.
Mm-hmm.
They play a lot of tight ends. Mycole Pruitt is there, and obviously Cordero Patterson. He doesn't have a lot of carries this year, but he's always a danger to, you know, line up in the backfield. And you know, he's got 9 kickoff returns for touchdowns in his career. I know the kickoff has been eliminated, but he did get one last year.
That's a record.
I would imagine you with Cordero, you better kick it out of the end zone because, as we know, if it's 9 yards deep, he might be bringing it out.
That's a record, isn't it? I think he holds the record.
Yeah, he had that against the Packers. He basically almost was, you know, stepped out in the back of the end zone. So,
he'll be fired up to bring one back against his old team, the Vikings, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Kyle Pitts he's basically a receiver, but he's a tight end. Drake London is a rookie receiver, is pretty good. Jonnu Smith is their other tight end. So you see a lot of tight ends. If I was a Falcons fan, I'd be like, start Heineke. I know Heineke can't really sustain these sparks that he gives teams to be a legitimate starter. But when he comes in, people just move quicker. They move faster. The ball gets out quicker and teams get a little energized by it. And so I would be shocked if he doesn't start against the Vikings.
What kind of defense did they have against a rookie quarterback?
Well, I mean, Grady Jarrett tore his ACL. He would have been Garrett Bradbury won't be sorry to see Grady Jarrett out of there because he's a monster in the middle. It's a good defense. I don't think they're they're ranked in the top 10. The offense only scores about 17 points a game. I think the defense only gives up about 20. It's a good defense. I don't think they're a great pressure team, so that helps with the rookie quarterback coming in. But it's a good defense, but not like the 49ers should have been when they came in on Monday night.
Well, we got the prediction segment coming up, but I got a prediction I'm going to ask you to make before that. Who's going to play for the Vikings at quarterback on Sunday? You made your prediction on Atlanta, and who's going to be their quarterback going forward? What do you think?
I think it's going to be Jaren Hall on Sunday. I think Jaren Hall Sunday. I think he'll play well enough to play the next week. Who they play next week? Saints.
The Bears, I think. No, they play the Saints. Yeah, Saints, and then the Broncos.
So I won't go 2 weeks out. I'm gonna say he's gonna play. Not gonna be real pretty. It's not gonna be real ugly.
You can revise your pick after the game on Sunday. I'll let you do that. What do you think about the game on Sunday? You kind of laid it out there. What do you think? We have with this game coming up, you are I'm at 4-4 and you're at 3-5, so you're still one game behind. I should probably go first so that you can maybe.
Yeah, why don't you go first? You go first.
All right. Well, you know, it's a risk to pick the Vikings in this week because they do have a rookie quarterback that's going to get his first start in the NFL. got a few snaps in last week. Not a huge sample size, but I so like what's going on elsewhere on this team that I think it's going to be enough for them to get a win. I mean, the way you laid it out for about the Falcons, they don't score a lot of points, and Heinicke maybe hasn't played against Brian Flores' offense defense recently, so he'll have to maybe have fits with that. But it's not going to, we're probably going to go back to one score game again because we've got a quarterback that's new to the league, and so I think the Vikings will win, but it will be a close one.
Logic would say, Cousins is done. It's a no-brainer. You take the Falcons, especially on the road. I don't think it's going to be that easy a pick because what you're going to see this team do defensively, special teams, everyone, there's going to be a burst of energy by everyone else. I think it's going to because the assumption is that all our seasons is over. So you're going to see a definite bounce for that reason. But I am going to pick the Falcons. I'm going to pick it's going to be a low scoring game. And I'm picking the Falcons because I should do a either or. But to me, Taylor Heinicke starts and gives them enough spark to get a 15-12 win. So that's what I'm going. I mean, Taylor Heinicke
is the
best quarterback in the building. Maybe Fran Tarkenton will show up as a fan.
There you go.
Then Fran would be the best in the building. But yeah. I'm going to say I got to just, it's not going to be one of those where the season's over. I feel like they're going to play. People are going to be like, yeah, I mean, that was a good performance based as best as you could play without Kirk. But I just feel like it'll be just a little short this week.
For Kirk, win one for Kirk.
Come on. I think I would change it to the other side if it was here.
Yeah.
Like if Desmond Ridder or Heinicke was playing here and the fans would, I would assume the fans, if this was a home game, it would be a electric, we're going to ride our defense to victory and stuff like that. But I got to switch it to the other side, low scoring with it being there.
You know, you made a point earlier in the broadcast here that since Nick Mullins got hurt, that's given what's his face, Jaren Hall, more reps or more looks with at least the second string. I know he's probably still playing the scout team quarterback, but so maybe he's not coming in as cold as I kind of thought. My impression of him is of a third string quarterback, so he's been second string for a while, so that gives me a little bit of hope that he might have some problems for sure. But if you protect the guy and give him some time, he's going to be and they tailor the game plan to something he can handle. It might be fun.
I just feel like it could definitely turn out and be a good thing for him. But I just feel like on top of having to function as a rookie, to do it on the road is infinitely, I believe, would be harder with just the chaos of the noise and everything. But so that's the reason why I go with Atlanta with the home, with Heinicke, a little spark there, and the home field advantage and him having to function with that crowd. So,
I just have one more thing to say, and that's to reiterate, the Vikings got their first non-one-score game of the year. And, when it's a first two-score game of the season came against the Packers, as far as I'm concerned, now it's a blowout. So they blew out the freaking Packers on Sunday. And I need to repeat that for any Packer fans that are still listening here.
Yeah, I don't think what I call the Cowboys loss last year, I said they're 0-1 and five score losses or something like that.
That's something you would say, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think it's not gonna be a blowout. I just feel like Atlanta's not good enough to blow them out. They don't score enough points. So maybe this is a floor. But Joe, if they win like a 7-6 game, I mean Brian Flores is gone. So you'll have to mourn that. I do think in all seriousness, Brian Flores is I don't know. He's not working with the most talented, but he's not working with dog meat either.
Yeah.
He's brought something out of like a Metellus. He's reinvigorated Harrison and Bynum, and he'll probably be a head coach here if they were to like catch fire and win some games, get in the playoffs. Maybe me teasing you, it might happen. I don't know.
He might be like that former offensive coordinator Norm that the Vikings had that left midseason. He wants out of here. He says, I got to go be as soon as the first coach gets fired in the NFL, they come calling, but I'm just kidding. Won't happen. It's great. I don't see a blowout either. I just hope there's no emotional letdown because they scrapped and clawed their way back to 500. They really, really did against some, at least one decent team, the 49ers. And God, don't throw it away by, going down there in Atlanta and despite the situation. I think there's enough on this team, enough talent and enough leadership that they're going to go get it done. So
I don't see a flat team. I don't see a team that's in shock. I see a team that's going to have tremendous resolve, a team that's going to, they're going to want to come out and punch as hard as they can. I just don't think it'll be enough from the quarterback to win on the road.
So you're picking him. So is that your upset special for the week then, Mark, in the paper? No.
What, the Falcons winning? Yeah. That wouldn't be an upset.
That's true. They're a favorite, aren't they?
I would think they'd be favored. They're at home against a rookie quarterback.
You're right.
Or a quarterback that they just picked up.
Well, if Kirk was playing, they wouldn't be favored, I don't think. Anyway, that'll do it for this week. Thanks a lot, Mark, for your insight. Thanks, Mike Walden, producing behind the scenes. Thanks to all you folks for tuning in and checking us out. We appreciate that every week, and we will certainly be back here next week to talk about this Atlanta game. Like I said at the outset, something always happens with this team, and it's always worth tuning into. So I hope that the Vikings aren't going to be Lucy and pull the ball out from under us when we go to kick it here on Sunday. So thanks again. Thanks, Joe Johnson. Thanks, y'all. And we'll see you next week after that Vikings victory, I hope. Skol.
Skol.